Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Yeah, that's one thing I just don't get. We're talking about it at the end of the hour there. Is the fan, at least some fans out there, who feel like Mike Schilt just let players walk all over him. He certainly publicly had his players back.
Always.
And I have no idea, you know, how tough he was on the players behind the scenes, if there was the kind of, like, old-school yelling that you think it doesn't really go on anymore in Major League Baseball. These are professional players. But the Padres, and am I crazy? I thought, you know, this last season, they were a well-put-together ball club that played sharp baseball, didn't make a lot of mental mistakes.
I mean, okay.
I'm watching playoff teams make way more mistakes than the San Diego Padres did. Played crisp defense, threw to the right bases. I mean, did all the fundamentals correctly. What they didn't do when they needed to do was hit. And I don't know.
No. They didn't hit all year.
Yeah, they needed to hit more. But I don't think it's because Mike Schilt
wasn't just in the playoffs or at the end of the year.
It wasn't because the manager isn't hard enough on his players. Manny and all the guys in that clubhouse work really hard. Xander is an insane worker on hitting. They try. And there's no amount of yelling at the players that can make a player start hitting.
That's my T-ball team, buddy. Okay? Tell it to them. Tell it to the Sea Dogs.
I think Mike Schilt's going to be a hard manager to replace in many ways. And
I do too, actually.
I really do.
I mean, look, there's pros and cons, you know, when you get a new skipper in, certainly. And it's got to be the right choice. It has to be the right choice. Again, you know, AJ's going to have another chance potentially to make that decision. And that in and of itself is incredible. I mean, it's incredible. I do think it's fair to ask the question, you know, why have the last two managers wanted to be elsewhere? That's a fair question to ask, right? Like, if you are married two times in 4 years and your wife leaves you.
Both times.
And like surprisingly, walks out the door. I think it's fair that you have to look in the mirror and say, what could I do better? What could I do different? And I thought, based on everything I've heard, AJ had learned, and he may have, right? I saw Kevin Acey yesterday on with Foul Territory, Fair Territory, The Foul Pole, something. And he said, it's a good job because the general manager does not interfere with lineups. Who else can say that? That to me, is that's a check mark. If you're a skipper, you're like, I get to fail here, or I get to succeed, and I get to do it my way, essentially. Now, he's going to give me the players and, you know, he may trade the farm, but at this point, I'm a major league manager. I really don't care what AAA looks like. I need to win at the big league level, and I get to make my own lineups because AJ Preller he's not involved.
But
that's from Kevin Acey.
But the general manager
expects you to win. Yeah.
And
when did we turn into the 83 Yankees around here?
Expects you to work tirelessly toward the pursuit of winning a World Series. That's what the general manager expects. So if that's AJ's problem, fans, do you want AJ to stop trying so hard to win a World Series? Back off a little bit. Say, hey, let's just go out and have fun. I mean, I don't know of any Padres fans who don't like that AJ Preller is single-mindedly devoted to bringing a World Series championship to San Diego.
I just remain, I guess.
Is there enough balance in the life of A.J. Preller
and
his staff? Probably not.
Probably not.
Is it healthy? Is it healthy for the people that work for him, like Mike Schilt? Maybe not. We're seeing evidence that it might not be, that that single-minded devotion to try to win a World Series championship is taking its toll.
On the people around him.
I mean, out there, you know, tier ones. Do you want them to back off a little bit? Stop trying so hard? I don't know that anyone out there does.
I remain, if again, and I can only take what I've read, what I've heard, who I've talked to, at its word. I remain almost in admiration of Mike Schilt for being able to say, I can't do it, man. I can't do it. Because him going into, if he was on the edge, as it sounds like he was, losing hair, death threats, all that, boy, I would not want him back as the skipper next year. Right? You don't want him back as a skipper if he's about to snap at any moment. So finding that personality that can come in and has that same single-minded devotion is a tough one. If you watch the Dallas Cowboys documentary on Netflix, it was really well done, Cowboy fan or not, talking about Jimmy Johnson, who when Jerry Jones hired him, he's like, all right, I'm leaving my wife and my kid. Like, he literally was like, I don't have a family anymore. I'm gonna spend 22 hours a day trying to win here. And it took years to get it done. Is that good or is that bad? Me as the human and the father and the husband, I think that's a terrible idea. Nothing's worth that. Nothing's worth me losing my family over, especially some job. You know, but that's A.J. Preller, like, in a nutshell. He's like, I don't have a family. I'm not married. I don't have kids. I work tirelessly to bring a championship to San Diego. Not all of his moves are good ones. Not all of the relationships are perfect. But you asked a good question. Do you want your GM tirelessly working to bring you a World Series championship? I do. I'll raise my hand. I do. I think that's great.
Our friend Scott Lewis tweeted, said it doesn't have to be binary. Mike Schilt's decision that he couldn't handle another year could have easily come after a conversation with AJ about the expectations this year. Is this really what you want? I will say this. I don't know if, you know, AJ demanded, hey, we'd love to have you back, but we want some changes to be made, and here's what we're thinking. And maybe there was a conversation. I'd be surprised if AJ didn't want some changes. You don't win. You do need to make some changes. However, most people, most managers would go, all right, I'll try to make the changes you want. And if it doesn't work out, they'll go, all right, then fire me and I'll claim my, you know, take my guaranteed millions of dollars that you have to pay me and you can go on and move on. Mike Schilt didn't do that. He walked away from millions of dollars, according to Dennis Lynn. Walked away from all of it. No payout,
2 years.
No buyout.
Yep.
Walked away from it. For his health, for his,
mental
wellness.
Yep.
You know, that's, most guys I don't think would do that.
No. But again, it turns the mirror then on A.J. Preller, you know, and I think today when A.J. speaks, you know, we'll get a little bit more insight to it, I hope, about, you know, what... What went wrong? What could have happened? You know, how shocked was he when he says in the Dennis Lynn piece that it started to kind of spiral on him in August? It does make sense if you go back and listen and you go back and think about our interviews and you go back and think about, you know, what the team was going through then. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And if he really did and walked away without a buyout and left all that money on the table for his mental health, I tip my hat to you, sir.
He also remained to the very, very end, very complimentary of A.J. Preller.
Yep.
Spoke and praised A.J. right after Game 3 in his short news conference, the last time we heard from Mike Schilt. And then in Dennis Lynn's article in The Athletic this morning, said he denied that conflict with Preller or any other members of the organization led to his decision. He said, the thing I appreciated about AJ is you can have a very honest, healthy, transparent conversation with AJ. It's all for the greater good of us winning baseball games. So I value that with him, and I'm always going to be grateful for him giving me this opportunity. My only regret is I wasn't able to help fulfill the vision of Mr. Peter Seidler and AJ and this organization's passionate fan base to win a World Series.
Yep.
But he got... I think he left the Padres closer than when he got here.
Yeah, somebody said yesterday, you left it better than you found it. And I think that's unequivocally true. I think that's 100% true. And I you know, I don't want to couch this as anything other than what it is. You know, I will choose to take it at face value.
It's hard to do.
It is. It is. It's hard to wrap your head around, right? To walk out the door, leaving 2 years. So many guys would say, man, I need the money, or.
I will say, what good is $4 million or whatever it is?
If you're dead.
If you're dead. If it kills you.
Yeah, if it kills you.
If you really feel like you're heading down a path where you're not going to be able to recover, then he probably made a very wise decision, one that a lot of people would not have made.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly right, man. It's a very, very tough decision. And again, I get the sense that Mike Schilt, I don't know how much money he's made in his career. I'm not in the business of going to a man's wallet. But I know Mike Schilt a little bit. Not a real flashy. Not a super...
Didn't arrive to the ballpark in a different Lamborghini every day, let's say.
No. C20 Moreno makes a great point. Could ownership and AJ have done a better job supporting Schilt? I think when somebody walks out the door and leaves $4 million on the table because they don't want to do it anymore, I think, yeah, the answer is sure. Absolutely. I think every employer, you know, should support the people that work for them, right? And their mental health and what they're going through. You should be in support of that. Could they have done a better job? Probably. But at the end of the day, they're all doing their jobs as well. And again, trying to win a World Series. And you get the sense, man, like one question I would have liked to ask Schilty is, what if you had made it this far? And it's you against the Dodgers right now. And you, let's say you win that game. You go to the World Series. You still walking out the door if you make the World Series this year? If the answer is yes, then that speaks to what he's really going through. Did that Cubs series push him over the edge, so to speak? I heard a story yesterday from Tony Gwynn Jr. that actually sent chills up my spine. Tony said it was after game three. Tony, his wife, and Jesse Agler were walking down the street in Chicago going to get something to eat. And if you missed this, you can go back and listen on Gwynn and Chris. It really sent chills down my spine. And they said Schilty was just literally walking the street and in a daze, just a complete haze. And Tony said he didn't even recognize us until we got right up on him. He didn't see us coming. Hey, what's up, fellas? He said once he realized who it was, he snapped to attention and, you know, oh, hey, how you doing? What are you guys up to? But he was walking around the streets of Chicago after that loss, Ben, gutted, devastated, and didn't really kind of know where he was, according to Tony. And that made me really, really sad, man. It's really sad.
I mean, one thing that I have seen plainly is that being in charge, a coach, manager of a baseball, football team, college program, ages you pretty fast.
It does.
Sean Lewis yesterday, 39 years old, was talking about his 5-1 team going, I still can't sleep at night. I have no hair. My beard is already starting to turn gray.
Yeah.
He goes, this is a very stressful job. I stress about it all the time. I'm always concerned that something's going to go wrong, and I'm responsible for it. And it is an immense amount of responsibility.
It is.
In an organization, you know, a fan base, you know, whatever it is, you watch coaches get hired. Fresh face, you know, the young assistant, like, gets their first job. And you look at them 3 years later, side-by-side pictures, they age fast. They age quickly. I mean, you know, Buddy Black came in here yesterday. He looks great, but his hair turned white pretty quickly, I think, when he became a manager.
He also hasn't managed in like 8 months, so I'm sure the body rejuvenates after a while.
You know, they all know there's a toll that is taken upon them. And everyone handles it according to their own, what they have. You know, some seem like they can let everything roll off their back a little bit better than others, but it's a lot of pressure and a lot of stress on a daily basis.
Well, and again, I think he told Dennis as well something to the effect, I don't know that it made it in the piece, but I did speak with Dennis yesterday, and I think he said something to the effect of where his cup was filled up the most is when he got to go out and work with, you know, Luis Arraez at first base, or when he flew back to El Paso to hang out with Tatis to make sure he was good. Maybe for Schilty. Dude, the big chair is not for everyone. It's not for everyone. And to have a guy that really was so spun out about the whole thing and still managed to win 90 games is pretty impressive twice. It really is. But the big chair, I think that dude will have a spot in the game of baseball within the next year, but I bet you it won't be as a manager. I bet you I don't even think it'll be as a bench coach. I bet you he'll go somewhere and
roaming minor league coordinator, helping
players, you know, come up and develop and things like that. But the story from Tony, the text I sent, the text I got back from him, I really spent, and a couple other people I talked to that know him, it really made me sad. It really did. It bummed me out because, you know, I don't want Shilty to sit here and think, man, that job almost killed me, you know, but I'm glad he got out when he did, you know, because it did sound like things weren't going well for him. And you could tell, we could all tell, you know, it's a bummer. It's a bummer. I wish him the very, very best.
Something still seems way off to me.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not even, like, naturally a skeptic.
Like what?
I think there's a better than 50% chance that Mike Shildt is on a spring training field for some major league organization in February. Maybe not as a manager, as a coach. Maybe even an assistant minor league bench coach or something. But he's going to be out there with a fungo in his hand. He could have done that here with this organization. If he just really didn't want to manage, I think it's interesting that we were told an evaluation was going to take place. And a change what is being made, whether or not it's exactly related to whatever internal reviews were done. I just think the timing, to just walk away, it's all still weird.
But I mean, again, if you put two and two together, do we not all agree that the guy was losing it at the end? Like, kind of? Like, really, no, really?
It was clear.
It's clear as day.
His health was suffering in the second half of the season. We talked about it kind of off the air. I didn't want to point it out publicly, but every time we talked to him in his dugout, you know, he was constantly coughing. He looked like he was sick the second half of the season. It really did. And, you know, I think the first thing, you know, he needs to do is focus on himself, take some time off, get his health right. So that rings true to me. The only thing that I am questioning, and I get it, Paul, you know, being skeptical is always the sign of a good journalist. You should always be skeptical and ask the questions. And my first thing was, all right, if Mike Shildt is getting a payoff to go away, then that's a clear sign that they're not being entirely honest with us.
Right.
He has now said on the record that he's not getting a dollar.
He said on the record
to walk away. Unless you think he's lying about that.
I mean, nobody's ever lied on the record in the history of mankind.
That would be a pretty bold lie.
I mean, it's pretty
to protect an organization that's getting rid of you.
Yeah.
You know, he can say nothing. He can say no comment. But to boldly lie and say, I'm not getting anything if he is indeed getting a payoff, why? He has no obligation. If they wanted to let him go, they'd have to pay him every dollar he is owed. Why would he let them get away with that?
Right.
What, he doesn't owe them anything. They signed him. They owe him that money. If he wants to stay, they have to pay him. And he said, I am walking away from all of it. So
crazy. It's crazy for us to wrap
the only thing
head
I can
around.
Say is that they're being honest here. And I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm skeptical too. I was skeptical right away. So we've done our digging. This is what we've been left with. Seems like it's all
so
true.
I thought the same thing because the first reports I got, very first, were he was pushed out. And I thought, all right, makes sense. Happens. Save a little face.
Let him go out on his terms. Yeah.
Yeah, let him go out. Then, same person. I said, this is what I heard. I'm hearing that too from multiple people, that he walked away.
Like with Bob Melvin, they sort of tried.
A lot of MLB insiders all over the place were saying, like, nah, there's more to this story.
I mean, look.
And I was even told, like, late last night, there's more news coming.
Yeah, I heard there's more news coming.
And I don't know if that's related to the managerial search, related to Mike Shildt, related to AJ. I have no idea. I've just been told there's more coming.
There's always more, right? Like your wife just said, there's always more. There's always more. But again, the fact that he had a phone call with Dennis, put it on the record, and said, you know, it was my time and I'm comfortable with it, that it says something to me. And again, just putting it all together, having covered him and talked to him, like he was on the edge. He was on the edge. He's like a cougar. Guy turned in his wings, man. He was supposed to go to Top Gun. He turned in his wings. You know why? He's flying too close to the edge. He's holding on too tight.
He's lost his edge.
I mean, the guy was on his way to Top Gun, the cream of the crop. And he goes, I can't do it. I almost orphaned my wife and kids. They've never even seen him. Throws his things on. I'm out. I walk. Guy left his whole career there. Don't tell me it can't happen. It happened.
He was a good man.
Great man.
Still is.
Still is a good man. Yeah, he was a good man. Yeah, still is a good man. Where were you? Where were you when we were showboating with this MiG? Nice man. Rest in peace. So it's a crazy story. It's crazy. You know, as more comes out, we'll certainly, you know, fill you in. But also, we'll talk to AJ Preller at 10 o'clock this morning and try to get more of that story.
All right, we'll take a quick time out. We'll get to our Padres smorgasbord bottom of the hour and look at other managerial candidates who are out there between now and then. Don't Do This is coming up next. Speaking of coaches who are aging quickly, one of the youngest coaches in the NFL could be nearing his end. Now he's dealing with one of his players talking out of turn. That is coming up next. Stick around. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3. The Fan. One way I dealt with my health a couple of years ago, and I was not feeling healthy. I had back pain, I had knee pain, and it was pretty clear the reason why. I had put on too much weight. You know, getting into my mid-40s, I needed to do something about it. I was approached by SDFatLoss.com about trying their program. I was skeptical. I had done other programs, hated it. Hated the bars, hated the shakes. They told me, no, we don't do any of that. It's all based on real food. I thought, I'll give it a try, but I love to eat. Well, I got to eat things I liked, chicken, steak, fish. I ate them at the right times, right portions, just like my counselor, my coach told me, and I did. I lost weight fast, just like they promised, up to a pound of fat per day, 10 to 20% of my body weight in 60 days. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days, and I'm not the only one. Here in this building, Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, John Flint down the hall at KSON. So many tier ones who have done the program and lost thousands of pounds. You could be next. Just set up your free consultation by going to sdfatloss.com. Find out about a program that doesn't rely on injections, which you'll just have to keep taking over and over and over again if you want to keep that weight off. Doesn't rely on exercise. You can lose the weight without starting some big exercise program. In fact, they tell you not to while you're losing the weight. Isn't that great? I did it. You can do it as well. Just find out how it works. Go to sdfatloss.com. Set up your free consultation now at sdfatloss.com. Results may vary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't Do This.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This on a Tuesday, brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Set up a Trust Your Will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. So fast.
Very fast.
All right, we do need to keep moving. We're just talking about the stress and the toll coaching can take on the men and women who do it. Mike McDaniel, one of the youngest coaches in football, is certainly feeling it with his Miami Dolphins struggling. Lost a tough one to the Los Angeles Chargers at the wire. That play that Justin unreal. Herbert pulled off.
To Ladd McConkey.
Escaping the rush, finding Ladd McConkey to set up the game-winning field goal after they nearly blew the game. And then his quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, gets up on the podium after the game and just starts calling out teammates for missing players-only meetings, for showing up late to meetings. And now Mike McDaniel is trying to react to that, saying, regardless of what was the intent on Tua's mind, that's not the forum to displace that. I think he knows that. I honestly believe there was no ill intention, but you're talking about, I think, a misguided representation of player-orchestrated film sessions. He's got his quarterback who's like just calling out all teammates, and he's going, this is spinning out of control.
The whole thing is spinning out right now for them. It really is. And you feel bad. I mean, you see the... Go look at pictures of that guy 2 years ago and look at pictures of him now. He looks like a shell of himself. It's such a... We never give these guys, I think, enough credit for the guy, especially the guys that can go up to the podium every day and seem like nothing's wrong. You know, you talk to them and you're like, oh, yeah, you really got it all together. Mike McDaniel, they're struggling.
Dolphins are 1-5, and he is definitely one of the coaches on the hot seat. He said, I've got a lot of things to worry about, and one of them is not those comments and where our team is lying after that.
Right, right.
He's in the torture chamber right now.
He is,
sure.
And you know who else is in the torture chamber? Is Bryce Terang right now for the Milwaukee Brewers. Man, the Brewers finally, after Dave Roberts pulled Blake Snell, who was shoving. Went to Roki Sasaki in the ninth, and you saw a little bit of a crack in the armor of Roki Sasaki. Ended up loading the bases, and Bryce Terang comes up. They're down one. Bases loaded. Blake Treinen trots in out of the bullpen, Ben, and is a little bit all over the place. The fastball's up. The slider is.
I mean, he's been terrible.
He's been terrible.
For weeks and weeks. I mean, you could see that. Okay, this is the bullpen.
Yeah.
If they're going to have to go to one of these guys, they keep losing games, and I thought it was going to happen again.
So, Brewers down to their final out. Bryce Terang is up. Slider in off the plate. And I'm telling you, Ben, the whole planet, except for in L.A. County, screamed, "Wear it!" at Bryce Terang as he had to matrix his way to get out of the way of about an 85-mile-an-hour slider, which is kind of the dream if you're going to get hit by a pitch. You know, 85 to us hurts. 85 to these guys, they see it all the time. That's the dream. And it was that fight-or-flight reflex. You've been taught since you were a kid to get out of the way of that pitch, and he didn't. And he wears it on the leg. They tie the game. God only knows what would have happened next. But you listen.
Even here's what Pat Murphy said.
There you go.
On it.
I mean, that's not an easy thing. It's a natural reaction. If someone turns and makes a gesture towards you, you're gonna, you know, it's the same thing when the ball's coming towards you. Your natural thing is it's a breaking ball. Your natural thing is to do that. And I know he was thinking the same thing after the ball went past. So it happens. He'll learn from that situation. But it's hard to, even if you try to maneuver yourself, it's hard to get hit by the pitch.
That's, I hear that and I'm going, he's agreeing. Yeah, you, in 2020 hindsight vision, you probably should have just turned on it and wore it. But I understand
Bryce Terang
how
said,
easy it is.
You turn your leg, you wear it, just like a natural reaction to get out of the way. The last pitch, he's a big sinker guy, so he throws a four seamer up at the top. That's just what it is. You move on. As much as it sucks, you move on.
Do you feel like, because there are guys who wear it better than others.
Oh,
Jake Cronenworth wears them all the time. I don't think he sees it coming and makes like an instant decision, I'm going to wear it. I don't think it's something you either have it or you don't. Like you either just have trained yourself, you're going to stay in there no matter what, or you get out of the way and your body just tells you to. But I don't know that you can... I mean, what's the training like? I'm just going to stand in here, and the pitching machine, I'm just going to let it drill me.
Do you have it?
100 times. Oh, God. I've got the biggest flinch reaction in history.
I don't have it either, buddy.
I would dive out of the way so fast, no matter what. Hey, we'll give you $10,000 if this ball hits you. I'm automatically diving out of the way. I can't do it. And I just don't think that there is a lot of things you can do as it's coming at you.
Get
out of the way.
My don't do this was kind of for everyone screaming, myself included, wear it. It's your instinct takes over.
Terang was going to come through on the next pitch,
I did
though,
too,
with the winning hit.
But also, you have to factor in the moment. 3-2, bases loaded, down a run, blah, blah, blah. Blake trying it on the mound, and he throws one. And you're like, oh, honestly, too, it was such a wild pitch. There was maybe the thought of this one could get away and tie the game. It was that far inside. Like, If you get hit by that pitch, you're still going to get the run. But you see that so wild, and you're like, oh, I'm going to get out of the way of this thing. This is a
wild
ball.
Pitch. It's going to score the run, and I'm going to then have a chance to win the game still.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure, I get that. I just watched it again.
It's crazy.
You're like,
it's crazy.
Oh, dude, that would have been just a little slider on the hip action.
Slider on the hip.
Tie the game.
Oh,
stay alive.
God, it hurts, though. Man, yeah. It hurts to get hit by a pitch.
Finally, a little doo-doo this.
D.D. Mega
haven't even brought it up yet. Let's bring up the other game and give the doo-doo this. Is Jorge Polanco having one of the best postseasons, especially for a guy who's not considered a major star? Had a really good season this year.
How great is that?
But he lives in the shadow of Cal Raleigh and
Rodriguez. How many people, even less than a week ago, if you were just like, all right, Seattle Mariners, go. They go, Julio Rodriguez, Cal Raleigh, Josh Naylor, right? They got some great pitching.
Rosarena.
Rosarena. Like, Polanco's not really on that list of guys that come to the forefront of your brain.
There's some guy out there that was like, I'm going to put $50 on Jorge Polanco to be the series MVP, and he is feeling really good right now.
Jorge Polanco is now the first player in Major League Baseball history to have a go-ahead hit in the fifth inning or later in three consecutive postseason games. Did it in the 15th inning of Game 5 of the ALDS and has put his team ahead in both Games 1 and now 2 with his three-run tie-breaking home run yesterday against the Toronto Blue Jays. And now the Seattle Mariners are heading home with a 2-0 lead and are 2 wins away from becoming the last team to finally reach the World Series that has never done so in Major League Baseball. Pretty cool.
It's beyond cool. And to do it against the juggernaut Toronto Blue Jays, who just sit there, they showed the fans, and it's just the craziest sight, right? They pan to the fans, and they're just staring. Like, what did we just witness? A drubbing. An absolute drubbing yesterday. I looked up, and it was, I forgot the game was on, and it was like 2:13. I'm like, oh, I'm 10 minutes late.
3-0.
I turned, I was like, 3-0? What the hell happened? I mean, and then Toronto fights back, and you're like, okay, now we got us a game. And then it just exploded.
And now they're going back to Seattle, where that crowd has been so nuts with a 2-0 lead. I remember 1998 when the Padres came back from Atlanta with a 2-0 lead and never seen anything like that. 60,000 plus at Qualcomm just screaming
rabid.
Their heads off. I was in the crowd, and I remember looking at the Braves on the field before the game, and they were rattled.
Yeah.
They were rattled before the game even started, going, what is this? This is not baseball. This is something else.
We got to get Softy on, Paulie.
Yeah.
We have to. He's so fired up. He's been posting these videos where he's like, I can't stand it. I don't know what to do. He's a legend in Seattle sports radio.
Now they, I ask every single year because I forget every single year between all of the sports. It's a 2-3-2.
So you win 2 out of 3 at home, and you are going to the World Series for the first time ever. Crazy. Crazy.
And even if you only win 1 out of 3, you still have 2 more chances on the road to do it.
That's right.
I mean, Seattle's in really,
they're in good shape.
Really good
Strange
shape.
Strange things right happen, though. And I would like to see the Blue Jays make it a series.
And that is don't and do this.
At this point, I need a sweep because get the Mariners as rested as possible for the Dodgers.
Rest versus rust, though. You never know. This Brewers series is going to be over in 3 days. So.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't forget, all guests on Ben and Woods appear on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. If we get Softy on, that's where he'll appear. Facing criminal charges, trust David P. Shapiro Criminal Defense Attorneys, helping clients regain control since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Ready for a smorgasbord?
Can't wait.
We now need to pick a new manager here in San Diego. I'm sure everyone at the Petco Park front offices is eagerly listening to see who gets the Ben and Woods stamp of approval before they make their decision coming up, right?
Let's actually pick who we don't want, and then maybe they'll go in the opposite direction.
Please, like, don't hire
Ruben.
You couldn't possibly do that.
Don't do that.
Go get Flaherty. We'd love
him. Coming up next on 97.3 The Fan.
Listen, gang, more and more these days, people are who are in pain or taking control of their health. They're looking beyond traditional medicine. I know I did. Went to QC Kinetics many years ago, got my wrists fixed up, and did not know what the problem was with them, but I was very nervous. I had small kids, and I really liked playing ball, playing golf, and being active. And I couldn't do it at all. I couldn't play the guitar, anything. All the things I love to do, I wasn't allowed to do because my wrists were in such pain. I was taping them and wearing weird braces all the time. Went to QC Kinetics, did 5 treatments on each wrist, and fixed me up. It's been great ever since. So it is pretty incredible. It's a simple injection, guys. It's not a hospital stay. It's fast. It's all natural. There's no downtime. Go see Dr. Jackson and his team. He is elite. Former orthopedic surgeon. The guy knows exactly what he's doing. So if your back, your knees, your shoulders are keeping you from enjoying life, explore all of your options before you agree to more pills or surgery. Call QC Kinetics today. You'll schedule a free consultation with Dr. Jackson and his team. Take charge of your health and look beyond the same old solutions, drugs, surgery, things like that. Your first consultation is free. No reason to wait. Call QC Kinetics now. Locations in Hillcrest and Torrey Hills. 619-614-PAIN. 619-614-PAIN. That's 619-614-PAIN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We did not pick this song,
I think,
by the
this
way.
Is that, an inappropriate choice, Polly.
Oh, I didn't do it.
Isn't that weird?
I don't pick the music on this show.
I pick the music on the show, but I don't have the rotation. I don't get to pick the rotation. And that weird that this song pops up right now before this segment.
Because.
Good God.
Before we get
I
into
swear
the,
to God on my life.
It just popped up.
It just pops
How
up.
How random.
We
that?
Have.
What are
it's
the
called,
odds?
It's called a rotator. It's got 200 plus songs in it.
And that's the song that the radio god said, I'm playing this.
Another One Bites the Dust by Queen.
I really did want to jump in before we start the smorgasbord and look at the next manager is the question. And it has to be asked. When you are now going to be hiring your fifth manager as general manager of the San Diego Padres, is AJ getting these decisions wrong? I think we all know that Andy Green wasn't a great call.
Yeah.
Jace Tingler ultimately wasn't a great call.
0-2.
Bob Melvin.
Should have been a great call.
But wasn't a great call.
I'd give him 1-2 on that one.
But farther than any other manager's taken us in the last however many years.
But wasn't Mike Schilt a good call?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or is the fact that he's left now change
Make
your
it a
opinion?
Bad call.
Because I do think that AJ got his last managerial hire correct. They didn't win a World Series, but we all feel like Mike Schilt did a good job as manager
sure.
in his two seasons.
Yep. And 90 wins, man.
As we said, left the organization in a better place.
Yep.
Now, his choice to leave, but I think he got it right. So he's at least AJ's trending in the right direction in terms of his managerial selections.
We have been through, I was thinking about this driving it. Now, again, I saw a bunch of people yesterday. Oh, Pat Murphy and Rod Barajas guys. Don't count. I mean, you don't count the interim guys. You just don't.
No.
I don't.
People saying, oh, this is 9th manager, 10th manager, whatever. It's like, all right, every president of baseball operations or general manager, they pick their guy and usually get rid of the old guy. So, like, you can't really even count Bud Black as
he inherited
manager.
Bud Black.
Yep.
Inherited him, made
then
his decision.
Dave Roberts for one game.
That doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
Rod Barajas doesn't count. Pat Murphy doesn't count. Maybe Pat Murphy, I guess.
Murphy.
He was half a season.
Andy Green. Then Rod Barajas. Then Jace Tingler.
The other thing that bothers me when we talk about like AJ Preller's tenure here with the Padres is, yes, you're accurate in saying and looking at it as one 10-year span, because that's how long it's been. You're right there. you really should probably split that into 2 5-year spans.
Yeah.
Because if anybody thinks Andy Green is the reason that the 2017 Padres didn't do very well, I think you're a clown.
Yeah.
Like, that team was not going anywhere, and it didn't matter who was manager. Ever since 2019, 2020, whatever you want to call it, it's been a different era of Padres baseball.
It has. Two owners, two different owners, and now three owners, you know, under AJ's leadership as well. He's had three owners that he's been under as well. So that's something to take into account. But yeah, I don't count those guys, but I was driving in this morning thinking, we've been together as a show almost 8 years. We've had four managers. And think about Manny, Tatis, they've had all these managers too, all these guys that have been there. It's crazy.
One of our photogs at Channel 10 last night, Gerald, said, hey, did I go with you to the introductory news conference for Mike Shildt? And I go, how am I supposed to remember?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? So you got another one coming.
These introductory manager news conferences over the years.
Don Ursula, bust out the suit.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Petco Park. I'm Don Orsillo.
Introducing 69th manager in Padres franchise history.
It is none other than...
We'll tell you, coming up in the Padres smorgasbord.
We won't.
After traffic. We won't, really. On 97.3 The Fan. Smorgasbord open. Padres smorgasbord.
All right.
Yeah,
call it something else.
Now this is a smorgasbord topic that is going to continue on
in perpetuity.
So we're just kind of jumping off here, looking at the potential candidates to be the Padres' next manager. And on my kind of list, I've divided it up into in-house, outside candidates, and Padres ties, guys with Padres ties in the past that aren't working for the organization right now. One guy who apparently his name is off the list, though, according to the reporting by Dennis Lynn, is Bruce Bochy.
Yep.
According to the sources of The Athletic, Bruce Bochy is not considered inside the organization to be a candidate for the managerial job for the San Diego Padres.
Now, again, we don't know if that's based on the Padres not wanting him or him not wanting the Padres or him not wanting to manage. I have no idea.
I didn't think it was out of the question yesterday.
I made a couple calls.
Brought up the name just because it's a whole different organization. Boch, you know, left way back when to go to the San Francisco Giants, and a lot of fences have been mended over the years. And Boch is a World Series winning manager for a team that is trying to win a World Series. And you know, there's not a lot of them available out there. You know, guys with rings that are just waiting to get back in. And the ones that are have been passed over so many times, like Joe Maddon, that you really wonder, all right,
why not?
Why have they been passed over for years and years and years? And is that really the direction you want to go?
When you read at the bottom of Dennis's story that said, not believed to have Bruce Bochy be a serious candidate, the first thing I said I thought was, why not?
Because
that seems like the easiest no-brainer win for me. I don't know that anybody's super upset about it. He's got the resume. He gets the respect the second he walks in. Seems like an easy fit. I'm just curious, like day one, they're like, nah.
Don't know.
I think age is certainly a factor. If you're trying to hire a manager, you know.
I would be looking at it for like two seasons, groom your next manager.
That's the only way it would work.
Your AJ Ellis or Ruben Niebla.
You hire Bochy and you hire his replacement right away. And if Boch is not into that, then there's really no conversation to be had. Yeah, Boch, we want you and we want AJ Ellis to be the next guy to work under you closely for the next couple of years before you step aside. And if Bochy doesn't want to do that, and he goes, I don't want you to tell me that I've only got 2 years or I have to take this guy as my coach, then there really is no conversation there. Padres don't necessarily want to say, yeah, we get Bochy for the indeterminate future for as long as he wants, but you know, they're going to have a plan going forward. So maybe that's why that just isn't a possibility, but I certainly would have considered it if I was the Padres.
At least make the call.
Yeah, I think you consider. I talked to somebody yesterday that knows Boch, and they had not spoken to Boch yet. And I asked them, would he take the call? And they said, knowing Boch, he would probably take the call. And I said, well, You know, he's got nothing left to prove in his career. Right. And he goes, yeah, but you win a World Series in San Diego, you're immortalized. And I said, but he's already immortalized. He's got four. You know, he's already immortal. You know, so I don't know. I don't know too much
about... Do you want to be more immortal?
Yeah, can he be more immortal? I have no idea. I have no idea if he's interested at all. But
I guess if you're just thinking selfishly, like your own resume or whatever, then you win a third ring on a third team, you're probably the greatest manager of all time.
But the other thing is...
You're in that conversation.
The other thing is, if he doesn't win, nobody cares. It's not going to ruin his resume
or his
legacy.
He's still a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right.
It's kind of a no-lose.
I have no idea.
Well, if not Boch...
Whom?
Whom? Who or whom?
I don't know.
All right, well, we got 30 seconds left in the smorgasbord, so
we're probably going to have to continue this conversation. I don't think we're going to be able to name every single candidate in the next 30 seconds. So why don't we get ready to take a timeout? I know you like to kind of restart things, but let's continue this conversation into our third hour of Ben and Woods this morning. Take a look at some of the lists national media have compiled, local media have compiled, names from Kevin Acey, names from Dennis Lynn, names that we're possibly hearing inside and outside the San Diego Padres organization. We'll find out more at 10 o'clock today when A.J. Preller speaks to the media. And I don't know if he'll mention any names, but maybe a timeline, something like that.
Commercial free right here, 97.3 The
Fan.
Right
here on The Fan. So we're leading up to that 2 hours away, but we'll come back and continue with our discussion of the next Padres manager right here with Ben Woods and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.